Hello and welcome. I laugh as I say the maiden voyage of yet another podcast platform, because it kind of seems like that's what I've done sort of here for the past couple of years. Is like I do this and I do that, and then I do this and then I do that. And you know, I'm a Libra, right? So maybe that's got something to do with it. It's the air sign, kind of blow around this direction, that direction, whatever. But this podcast is called The Cathavist. It's called Cathavist. It's not called The Cathavist, because that makes it sound like I'm it. That's not it. Cathavist. It means being inspired by the universal call to actually do something, right? I was raised in the Baptist church. I was, I kind of got to the point where I hit a wall where I really couldn't embrace that philosophy any longer. There just seemed to be so many more questions than answers. I abandoned my faith essentially for a number of years, found my way back in as a Christian in the evangelical church, and I was in the mega church environment, which has its own share of criticisms. I loved it, right? I loved it like a Katy Perry concert, let me tell you, right? Which I loved. I just saw Katy Perry, so fresh on my mind. I loved my evangelical experience like it was a Katy Perry concert. I mean, it was as good as it got for me. Met my wife, who was raised Catholic, was confused and compelled into thinking that I needed to learn more. I went through RCIA to kind of figure out what the heck it was all about. We were married, by the way, in a combined service by a priest, a Catholic marriage, with my youth minister from who I worked with in the evangelical church, who did that part for me in a borrowed suit that didn't even fit him. So, you know, that's kind of the world that brought me then into the Catholic church. But and then I got into Catholic media and then, you know, went down that road. But the thing that inspired me most as a non-Catholic looking at the Catholic Church was when I saw things that looked like action from the Catholic Church. When I saw people like Mother Teresa, who I got to be honest, you know, at the time in the early 90s when I was just really enamored by her, I didn't know she was Catholic. Right. It wasn't even a thing. Like, okay, she's a nun. But it was like that. She didn't go out and say, my Catholic faith makes me whatever. Right. She didn't wear it on her sleeve. You can say, well, she wore a habit, Leo. Right. Well, what do I know? I'm a Baptist kid who was basically in a world of some sort of agnosticism of sorts at that time. But I see this woman who is compelling. Right. She's so compelling. Because she challenged everything. You talk about a rebel, just a radical, amazing woman who challenged all convention. I loved that about her, and I did not know her faith. I didn't care, right? I didn't care, quite frankly. What I cared was, here's a woman who is willing just to not give a damn. That's what it looked like to me. She is going to challenge everything. She's going to challenge political authorities. She's going to challenge everything about her environment. I saw this in her. And then discovered later, after becoming Catholic, oh, she's one of us. Okay, well, that's interesting. Good for us. Now, where's everybody else like her? Right? Because then what happened to me was I got into Catholic media. First off, I like to say I was kicking and screaming into the Catholic Church to begin with. I was resistant. Highly resistant to even think about a career in Catholic media, because where I was at the time, I was on a career track with iHeart Media. Before they were iHeart, they were Clear Channel, and I was on a career track with Clear Channel to go on to bigger and better things. And I've watched my colleagues do that, right? Just so you know. Those colleagues that I had 15 or so years ago when I made the jump, and they said, oh, you know, you're committing career suicide. I just want you to know that. I was like, well, I'm supposed to do this for the Lord, right? Whatever. I did the thing, and they've gone on. They're doing big, huge stuff. Good for them. So all this to say, I appreciate money and mouths together, right? If you're going to talk it, let's walk it. Let's see this thing come to fruition in some way that looks like something. That's what Cathavist is about, because it's action. It's universal action is essentially what it means. And I have gotten questions. I haven't gotten criticism yet, because Breadbox Media, we're calling ourselves the new Catholic Revolution. We get a little C in there, not a big C. And that was always like a big debate in Catholic media. Well, is it little C Catholic? Is it big C Catholic? You know, it's all this stuff. And, you know, and that was the other thing in the world of Catholic media that I was in, very rigid in the sense of, you know, we're catechetical. It's catechetics, and this is what it is. And, you know, I know people love that because you want to have certainty. You know, there's this Brené Brown, am I saying her name right? The big TED Talk that has been out there for a few years. It's been downloaded. I may be wrong about this, but I think it's the most watched TED Talk of all time, something of that nature, where she's talking about vulnerability. And she says, you know, people who struggle with this, they really want to make the uncertain certain, right? You struggle with vulnerability. You don't want to be vulnerable. What do? You get a rigid. Let's tighten this thing down, right? And that's the world. That was the world of Catholic media that I came from, this very like, let's break the handle off the ratchet, right? Let's break the bolt off. Let's tighten it down so tight. It's from my shade tree mechanic experiences growing up in Graffenburg. Thank you much. Kentucky, tiny little backwoods community where if we had a car, it was one of five in the yard that we worked on repeatedly from spare parts from the others. But anyway, so this rigid world of being very, having to have certainty. And then oddly, this all kind of began to erode away from me. And there are people who look at me like, Leo, you're approaching 50. You're a midlife crisis guy. That's what you're dealing with now. But I'm like, I don't think so. I really don't. Yeah. I mean, maybe, sure. If that's the case, great. But I don't want this to be a phase. I want this, what I'm experiencing now, to be like, okay, maybe this is what it's all about anyway. And it was supposed to have been about the whole time, but I made it something it wasn't. Right? I did that. I made it something it wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be that. And I turned it into that because I fell for the rigidity. I fell for, I need certainty. Tony Robbins is a big inspiration of mine. I've actually studied him. I talk about some of the leaders out there who I have studied, meaning that I don't just like, oh, they're cool. Like, I read their stuff. I follow their work. I did a 40-hour immersive program with Tony Robbins' DVD series. Now, it's not the big, you know, go and spend $25,000 on Unleash the Power Within, but I spent, I don't know, a couple of $1,000s on this program. And I had a personal coach through Robbins' organization that worked with me for 6 weeks. So I did, I guess, 40 hours of DVD training over the course of 6 weeks, right? So it wasn't like a 40-hour work week where I just did it. It was a 6-week course totaling 40 hours of DVD series and personal coaching. So I'm a huge Robbins fan. And the thing that he talks about are these six human needs. And the first one is certainty. We need to have some degree of like, this is going to be there. We need to feel that way. But the other is uncertainty, right? So you can't have just certainty. You need uncertainty, or else you're going to get so out of balance because you're so into that certainty mode that everything else is going to just get stupid for you. So that's the second. The third is we need to have some sort of connection. We need to have some sort of, forgive me, before we get there, if we're going to go over a hierarchy, let's do the Maslow thing because it is kind of a hierarchy. Before we get to that, we need to have some sort of validation, right? There has to be some sort of this is, you're important kind of feeling. Then we need to have a connection of some sort of love and connection. Then we need to have some growth opportunity, and we need to have some contribution. Significance was that third one. I was drawing the blank on how he explains it, but it's significant. So here it is. I'm doing all this from memory, no notes in front of me, just so you know. So it's the uncertainty, uncertainty, significance, connection, growth, contribution. Six basic human needs that he identifies. So I think what the rigid Catholic approach provides is pretty good on that first one, right? It's very certain. This is certain. There's no question. No, don't ask it. Don't even ask it, right? Which is what I rejected in the Baptist church because I grew up in that to the point that it was so distasteful that I began to have a disdain for it. And I kind of felt myself falling back into that world as a Catholic. Like, why are we so certain about everything? Right? Why are we so certain? I really don't know that we can be. Then something happened a couple of years ago. An evangelical friend from my old world said, do you read Father Richard Rohr? And I was like, I've kind of heard of him. He's like, he's your guy. Why don't you know? And so he introduced me at the perfect time in my faith, work, life experience to the first of his books that I read that turned into five or six others. And it was Breathing Underwater, which basically takes the 12-step approach through the traditional Alcoholics Anonymous, sort of breaking the habitual addictions and gave it a faith component, which it does have a faith component anyway, but it gave it a Catholic expression, which is what I needed at the time. And it was amazing. And the things that he presents and the way he presents them was very appealing to me. So when I first came into the Catholic Church, before I officially was Catholic, so I was attending Mass with my then girlfriend, who's now my wife, and we were at that time, young 20-somethings. Yes, that was a beautiful, lovely time in our young adulthood. And we attended Mass frequently at the Newman Center, which we still do, even though it's not our parish. We find ourselves there frequently, but it's because we now have kids, and it's the later Mass, right? It's more out of necessity. It's like, oh, okay, Sunday morning, can we get out of the house? Can we get out of the house today? Possibly not. So we're trying to get our kids wrinkled to try to get to Mass. And so we end up at the Newman Center, which it's later. But when we first started attending there, there was a priest who was not the pastor, but he was a frequent homilist who was a Jesuit. And Father Walt Beto, I love him because he would just have the most compelling questions in his homilies. And it was not this black and white, ultimate answers are here kind of thing. It was the best questions are here. And I always valued that. I valued the fact that he was so willing to express what he didn't know. And then, just so you know, total aside, but when Farrah Fawcett died, he mentioned her in a homily, and I was going to a daily Mass, and he was like, oh, prayers for, you know, he offered prayers for Farrah Fawcett. I was like, which is great. I mean, God bless her and God rest her soul. But I went up to him and I said, do you do that? I've never heard you really do that for all celebrities. He's like, no, I just really love Farrah Fawcett. Don't you? I was like, yeah, what are you talking about? She was my crush as a kid. He's like, oh, yeah, what a beautiful woman, right? So, I love the guy, and I love that kind of just authenticity that he brought. And then Richard Rohr, Father Richard Rohr, has the same kind of complexity. It's complex, right? It's complex. It's not so simple. It's not this or that. And that's the world that I was formed in as a kid. Like, first I got this like breath of like, ha, wow, what is that? Where has this been? My goodness, what? And for a couple of years, I got to admit, I was formed in an RCIA program with a Franciscan nun who was very open and explorative about a lot of stuff. And we talked about that and it was great. And then somehow, somewhere, the ship wrecked on this island of rigidity to the point that for over a dozen years, I was kind of in this mode of like, I can't move off of this, right? And then you add into that the other challenges of the fact that I'm trying to run a radio station, which is expensive. I'm trying to keep donors happy, which is hard. Oh, okay. Which is impossible, right? I got all of these things that are just so difficult. To adopted children, trying to be a parent, trying to be a husband, trying to figure that out, all of these things. And finally, I got to a point where I'm like, ah, right? I had to break out of that because I was stuck almost entirely on that one human need. Certainty was there. And I had a fine paycheck. And I had a lot of things that I knew I could predict. But there wasn't all of the other elements to truly fulfill really me as an individual. And certainly those things that I was most enamored by initially when I looked at the Catholic Church as a possibility. So now I say all of this to say, now here we are again, launching a new platform. Breadbox Media has been up and going for 2 years now. Praise God, we've managed to get to this point, and we had a little bit of trickle of cash flow. We're trying to move forward, and the only way we do this, we have advertisers, and we have you as premium members who get deals from our advertisers, and that's how it works. So if you appreciate this, if you think, wow, this is a breath of fresh air, this is something different, this is something that I value, this whole network, they're going in a direction that we've never seen before in Catholic media. I've never seen it. I've never seen anyone come out and call themselves the new Catholic Revolution. With a little C, and dare to do that. But we got to be authentic and we got to be who we are. And we got to be, I think, who we were created to be within, I don't even want to say confines. I think that's even restricting. Within the atmosphere, right? Within the ecosystem, within the culture. Right? Within the culture of all this living stuff, that's where we got to be. Yeah, I remember, back to Father Walt Beto, I remember one time in a homily, and I was like, really? Did he just say that? Wow. Okay. Because he was like, I don't get the culture of death. Right? That's what he said. He was like, I know, and it may have been Pope John Paul II. Days. I'm sure it was, right? It was our Pope. He keeps talking about this culture of death, right? And he's like, a culture is alive. It's living. It's creative. It's inspired. That's a culture. A culture cannot be of death, you know? So, I mean, it was, again, this we're going to buck this a little bit, but we're going to do it with stuff that's real. And we're going to do it with real evidence and real, with a sincere approach, not to just simply say, well, it says that's got to be, well, we can't question that. Because people who have vulnerability issues, right? People who don't want to speak this openly, people who don't want to talk about how hard it is, how much it sucks, how tough it is just to remain remotely, slightly faithful on a daily basis. People who don't want to deal with that want rigidity and they want certainty. And it was tough because, you know, for me, it was like a pendulum swinging back because I used to do morning radio and I would talk about everything and anything. And it was very explorative, even though it was just rock radio doing stupid stuff. But we were flat out honest on a lot of stuff. And it was appealing. We had a huge, huge morning show. We had massive ratings because we would talk intimately and very transparently. And then I got to Catholic radio and was like, well, you can't say that. No. Can't say that. 3 appearances on the international network of EWTN. All 3 kind of cautioned me in the green room prep time before the program. There are places you can't go here. You know that. We have donors to think about. Leo, how dare you talk about your drug history or your ridiculous sexual promiscuity? Let's just kind of mention you had a checkered past. That's all. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know, get specific into that stuff. No. Right? So that's why we're here. That's why this blog exists. A blog. Yes, there is a blog. Thank you. That's why it's a podcast, though, and a blog. It's the soup that eats like a meal, right? It's the podcast that eats like a blog that eats like a podcast. It's all of that together, all with a network, which is Breadbox Media, which is getting out there in places that Catholic media has never explored. What I plan to do with this is it faith in action? Is it something that can really be embraced in a way that says, okay, this is going in the right direction? It's less rigid, right? It's more, we got to go with the flow of this and we got to see where things are going to go because we're dealing with people, we're dealing with humans, we're dealing with attitudes, we're dealing with, you name it, situations, whatever may appear. And I really want that to be the heart and soul of everything this platform does. This podcast, this blog, and this network, Breadbox Media. Because I want to meet all of those human needs, right? I don't want to be stuck on the certainty. You know, the certainty is, hey, you know what? We're going to show up every day. We're going to do something. That's about it. About as certain as it's going to get. And even then may be questionable. Right? Beyond that, I don't know. We're just going to have to roll with this. See where it all takes us. So again, I hope you find this refreshing. I hope you're willing to share this experience with others. Please do. And soon, I promise, a companion podcast to the blog piece that I just put up. But you can find my blogs on the website as well, breadboxmedia.com. And it connects over to my catavist.com page for the blogs. And podcast will do this kind of stuff. But hopefully it won't just be me. Like, that's, I know that you can only take so much of that. I guess like that certainty. We're certain Leo's going to keep talking. Is there anybody else that we can hear? Right? I get it. But thank you for your time. Again, support us. We need that. We need your help, as always, to do what we do. And thanks for listening. Put your faith, or whatever you happen to call it, your belief, into action. I'm Leo Brown.